In the message for the youth tonight, I'd like to ask to stop a few minutes and think of a disciple and three lessons that we learn from his life. Among the 12 disciples of Jesus, there was one that is mentioned only in three instances in the Bible. However, in the Christian folklore, no one is, I think, mentioned more than him for a feature of character that seems to overshadow the rest of his character traits. His name is Thomas. Thomas, called Didymus, the twin, or as we all know him, Thomas, the doubter. Toma Necredincioso. Not a very flattering nickname for a follower of Jesus Christ. For someone who was with Jesus Christ and saw his miracles, he witnessed Jesus' words, and I think somewhat unfair nickname. Thomas was a disciple who loved Jesus. Thomas was an honest disciple. But the Passion Week comes, and Jesus is caught and crucified. Thomas is not near to Jesus. He is absent from the cross. The death of Christ shakes him, I believe, and his understanding, and he chooses to be alone. He wants to sort things out by himself. He faces disappointment regarding the fate of his beloved teacher, faces the suffering of knowing that Jesus is dead, and he makes a big mistake. He withdraws from the fellowship with the rest of the disciples. He seeks to be alone rather than to be with his brothers. Because of that, he misses the first showing of Jesus to the disciples in the day of resurrection. And now, like 2,000 years ago, we are 8 days after the resurrection. And the word of God in John 20, verse 24 says, "Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.'" And then the word of God says, "A week later," on an evening such as this, a week later after Jesus' resurrection. I'd like us to look at the first lesson from the life of Thomas. I said that he was very loyal. At one point, when Jesus talks about Lazarus, Thomas says, "Let's go, all go with Jesus and die with Lazarus." But the first lesson that I would like us to learn is not from his character, but from his mistake. Never separate or withdraw from the fellowship with brothers and sisters. Because when we do that, we miss a great deal. When we separate ourselves from fellow Christians and try to be alone. I do not know what shakes your world. Maybe it's personal suffering. Maybe you see others suffer. Maybe it's sin in the personal life or in the life of others. Maybe it's disappointment with the attitude that brothers and sisters have towards you. The first lesson, again, is whatever the problems, disappointments, suffering we're confronted with as young adults, we should never withdraw from the fellowship because we miss a great deal when we do that. Thomas is not there in the first day. And think what happened to him. Another 7 days of suffering, of questions, of turmoil. And finally, doubt. Because let me say this. For us, I don't think doubt is the first thing. Doubt, I think, follows being alone and trying to sort things on your own, you know better than the youth pastor. You know better than the Word of God. You know better than your brother and sister. And you try to sort things alone. It's never a good idea. Let's learn from Thomas. Never to miss the fellowship, no matter what problems we are confronted with. D.L. Moody was visiting a prominent Christian and a prominent citizen in Chicago who he wanted to talk to him about the idea of church membership. And the citizen said, "I believe that I can be just as good a Christian outside of church as I can be inside it." And Moody said nothing. Instead, it was a really cold day in Chicago, so he went to the fireplace and with the metallic instruments for the fireplace, pull out a burning coal and place it on the ground. And he said nothing, and the other person said nothing. They just looked at the burning coal. And in a few seconds, the burning coal went cold. And the man said, "I see now your point." Never separate from the fellow Christians. Seek their fellowship. Seek their presence. Because Jesus says, whenever two or three are gathered in my name, I am in their midst. Whether it's the church, whether it's the Thursday evening, your Bible study, or the small group, stay in that group and sort your things with the youth pastor in the light of God's word. The second lesson for us is that Thomas refused to say that he understood when he did not understood, or he refused to believe when to say that he believes when he did not believe. We should do the same thing. We should not just pretend we understand. We should not just pretend we are okay. We should refuse to say we understand or believe what you don't, and prayerfully ask God to answer your doubts. Thomas was sincere. He had a very clear set of questions, and you know what? His doubts did not disqualify him to be a disciple. John says, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, he was still one of the 12, was not with the disciples." I want to make a parenthesis here and speak for us, for the rest of the church. The disciples did not give up on him, I believe. They continued to call him to the fellowship. Because the word of God says, the other disciples told him, "We saw Jesus." And he says, "I don't believe." And they continue, I believe, to do that. And he finally gave in and he came to the fellowship. So what's the lesson for us, the rest of the church? Many young adults, the research says, don't feel at home in church because they feel that the church is not a place that allows them to express their doubts. They don't feel safe or comfortable to admit to the pastor, to the youth pastor, that they don't understand or they are confronted with doubts. And I pray that our church is not such a place. I pray that we are a place where we are open to the questions. I hope that we prayerfully listen and graciously listen when youth has doubts. Because you know what? It wasn't only Thomas who was blessed. It was the rest of the disciples. Have you thought of that? Because Jesus comes in their midst 1 week after the resurrection. There was no planned meeting. And the first thing that Jesus says, he was there for Thomas, but the first thing he says was addressed to the disciples. He says, "Peace be to you," to the disciples. So the church also benefits when they allow the youth to sincerely express their doubts, as long as those are sincere and honest. As a church, I pray that as a loving, caring community, we will allow the youth to express their doubts and questions, because we will benefit from the presence of a soul who has a sincere and honest doubt and seeks an answer. We will be forced as a church to examine our beliefs, and we will benefit from that. We will see God's grace at work. And most importantly, we will see God at work in our midst, as the disciples saw in that evening. You know what? His doubts were answered. He was sincere. Isn't it striking? Look at second part of verse 25. This is what Thomas says. Unless I see the nail marks on his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. And now, read with me listen to verse 27. This is what Jesus says. Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Almost the same words. Jesus was not there when Thomas expressed his doubts. When you are sincere with your questions and doubts, the Holy Spirit listens. And you will receive an answer that will rather lead to faith, strong faith in the longer run. But you need to be sincere. And when you have your questions answered, comes the third lesson from the life of Thomas. When God shows you mercy and answers your questions, don't waver. Be all in for God. Because look at what Thomas says. After Jesus said this, I was looking in the Bible and I didn't see any wording saying that Thomas actually put his fingers. For Thomas was enough the presence of Jesus and the fact that Jesus knew his doubts and he was willing to answer them. And Thomas made one of the greatest statements of faith, my Lord and my God. You know what we see in Thomas? The fact that faith in the resurrected Christ, not faith in anything else, is the only saving faith. And I pray that every single one of you will have that faith. In spite of the doubts that might come, in spite of the doubts that are in one form or another confronting every single one of us, I pray that looking at Thomas, we are willing and putting in our mind never to leave the fellowship. We always will be honest with ourselves and with God and prayerfully ask God to answer our questions, to respond to our doubts. And then when we get that answer, that blessed answer from God, we will all be in. The sad part is that many people are saying, if God will do this, if God will answer me this, I will. And then they go back and they forget their promise and they forgot their prayer. Thomas is not like that. His doubts are answered. He gets his answers. And guess what? His life, his words prove that he was all in. He was sincere in his questions. He didn't just play mind tricks and mind gimmicks and gymnastics asking all sorts of questions. No, he died as a martyr. The tradition says he went all the way to India. And even today, they are on the east coast of India. There are Christians who are called themselves Christians of St. Thomas. Why? Because eventually he came to the fellowship. He was honest in asking the questions. And when God answered, he was all in. I pray that every single young man and woman that are here tonight will look at Thomas, learn from his mistakes, but learn also from his character, until we are going to be like the person that Jesus says, blessed are those who did not see and believed. I hope every single one will be one of those kind of Christians. Amen.